Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program, and we will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, Tom Brady making headlines the last couple of days. Number one, I guess, for creating some sort of flag football thing that apparently he's coming to play
Saudi Arabia.
So
interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
Guy can't stay away from playing quarterback, apparently, but this time it's going to be flag football. So good for him, I guess. But there was a photo that is making the rounds out there, and I guess it's not a photo, it was on the broadcast, of Tom Brady in the booth, in the Raiders booth, on their Monday night game against the L.A. Chargers, where he's got the headset on, and he's sitting there clearly involved in the game, and he's helping out in the booth there. So that has generated a larger discussion on the Tom Brady front, Joe, that we've had before here on the show of he's clearly a guy that is very involved with the Raiders, which makes the, you know, going back to the not drafting Shador stuff and him not being involved in that all the more funny when you go back and kind of revisit those comments.
Yeah.
But he's also, obviously, a part of the number one team for Fox. And there's a large discussion right now in the NFL circles of, is this okay? Like, is he, if he's calling games for Fox, and I think some of the idea has been that he's, like, in the building and getting information and talking to the players and coaches from teams that he's calling the game of, and yet he's also deeply involved in the inner workings of his actual football team, being a minority owner of the Raiders. Is that not a huge conflict of interest? Now, the NFL put out a statement yesterday on Brady, basically saying that he did not violate any rules in the coaching booth on Monday night.
Great.
It said, quote,
"Wonderful.
He is prohibited from going to a team facility for practices or production meetings," saying that Brady is not allowed to go in there as a part of his job for Fox. So what do you make of all this when it comes to Tom Brady, his involvement with the Raiders, his involvement also with Fox, and the discussion that is now pretty widespread in NFL circles as to whether or not that's okay?
Well, I think it's a load of crap. And the thing is, it hurt. Like, I've seen a lot of people this week say, well, then just don't tell them anything. Great. But see, that's the problem. We, the consumer of football, are hurt by this. We're already hurt because he's not very good as an announcer. Like, I understand that, like, Tom Brady, people love him as, you know, as one of the greatest players of all time. He's certainly one of the best quarterbacks the AFC East has ever seen. No question about it. But seriously, he's a huge star. He's one of the greatest players and American athletes of all time, right?
Yeah.
So is Michael Jordan, or come up with whoever else you want. That doesn't mean that they should be calling these games, because that's just a different job. And I go to, like, how many people are like, you know what? I don't really care about Chiefs, Eagles, but Brady's on the call. I think I'm going to tune in. Is that a thing?
I don't think so, at least not widespread. I wouldn't think so.
So he's already bad. He's not good. The fact that he called a Super Bowl is an egregious – it's an absolute indictment of the NFL for not understanding, like, what matters when it comes to consuming your product. It's not, "I'm Tom Brady, and when I was at the team hotel, I don't give a crap." Analyze the game. Greg Olsen breaks down a play expertly every single time. And he got bumped down for your garbage. So now, because of this, you also, and they've relaxed the guardrails this year, but still, you also are going to be lacking insight from him because, yeah, I'm not going to tell him anything. He can't come in person. That's a big part of the job of telling us the story of the game as fans who want to watch it on TV, is that you get that insight because you're trusted with it. So you can get into, like, yeah, actually, here's what's going on with, like, the QB and the coach or whatever. Like, that stuff, of course, you're not going to – I mean, there's some things it's like you can't say that on the air, but it still leads to insight on the game. in certain parts of it. And he gets none. He already has no insight. He's already not good. And now also, he's iced out because of this. And he's sitting there in this freaking booth with his headset. Was he, like, trying to hide from the camera? What was he doing? He's, like slinking down in his seat, hoping no one saw him on the in the booth. It's a complete joke. And it's just, again, needless to me. Like, Fox seems to think that this is some huge boom for them. And I understand, I've heard the people say it's really more about...
I think it is a huge boom for them behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, he's, whatever, mixing with the sponsor.
And I think that's what they care about.
Well, great. Then put him in a freaking, you know, tuxedo and prance him around. Like, you know, wonderful. He's the belle of the ball. I don't want to see him on TV.
Yeah, like, I'm with you from the standpoint of, like, I don't think he's great in the booth. Like, I think he's gotten better. I think when he first started, it was pretty bad, to be honest with you, like last
year. Is he better?
I think he's better. Yeah, I think he's gotten better. Look, there
seemed the exact same to me.
There are certain things he does. Like, I enjoy the quarterback perspective of, like, what they see on a play. I think he's pretty good at that. Like, you know, he'll break something down. But I agree with you from, like, the standpoint of being inside the building and knowing the inner workings of what's going on with the team. Or even, like, you know, a big part of the broadcast at times is, like, you know, Collinsworth will be on Sunday Night Football and he'll be like, yeah, you know, Andy Reid told us that there was this one part of the defense of whoever they're playing this week that he was really going to try to attack early in the game. And you could see it right here. This is why they're doing it.
Right.
And you're just not going to get that with Brady because no coach is going to walk up to him and be like, hey, Tom, guess what we're going to try to do this weekend? You see this defense here for the Lions? We're attacking this guy right here. Nobody's doing that.
Right. Even like general, even if it's not like it's like this is something, a wrinkle we've added to the playbook, right? Stuff like that. Like, it's a league of constant copycatting and then constant figuring things out and then constant, okay, here's our counter to that. That's what it is. So he represents the Raiders. I mean, I'm not telling him anything about that.
Yep.
Announcers, you're comfortable telling him that. I mean, you're telling the story of our league. You're not going to screw us over. You're not going to help one team over us. I mean, I think usually there's that trust. I guess maybe people look at Romo and say, guys, you going to tell the Cowboys this? But I don't think so. I think once you get into that job, there's an understanding. Like, okay, yeah, this is kept in confidence, and it just helps you tell the story of the game. Brady gets none of that. And again, he already is deficient.
Well, and here's the other question. Like, how involved is he with the Raiders? Like, we know he's the minority owner. But, like, how involved is he in personnel decisions? How involved is he with, like, on-field decisions?
I mean, Charles Robinson told us before our own eyes told us. He's involved with all of it.
Well, and Pete Carroll, this is what Pete Carroll said Tuesday. Basically, that, you know, Brady's not planning games with us. He said, quote, he's not talking to us about anything other than our conversations we have that are really random. They're not set up. They're not structured in any way. He knows. He's been very respectful of what he does. Otherwise, he's of the opinion that he doesn't want to be that kind of factor. So he's not. So that's what Pete Carroll had to say on it. I don't know. Like, look, I doubt it. I doubt that Tom Brady is sitting there with the headset on in the coach's booth. Their offensive coordinator makes the call. And Brady looks at him and is like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Sure.
But, like, he's got the headset on for a reason, right? Like, there's some communication that's clearly going on there. He's not just sitting there like, oh, I'm just curious about what's going on here, so give me the headset.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like one of the Ursay daughters is doing this on the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she's interjecting, but even the fact that any sort of ownership person has a headset on is kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Amy, come on. Get the headset on.
I mean, maybe she does. Maybe she does in the suite. I don't know. Sitting up there. You know, oh, crap, this thing's in my way. I was trying to, you know, have a chicken finger. I don't know. You own the team.
You're passing the ball from your own seven right before half?
You own the team.
Is that what happened? Amy calling audible? Brian, we got to be aggressive here. We got to push the ball down the field.
Maybe. Maybe we shouldn't be criticizing Brian Callahan.
Callahan's not going to get up there and say that.
Yeah.
Maybe we've uncovered it here.
Yeah, you know, owners can do whatever they want. That's the problem. Like, he is one. he's part of an ownership group. I mean, it's and again, it's like, for what? Like, it's to the benefit of who? So it's to the benefit of Fox because they have him in their employ and they can schmooze, you know, Nabisco.
I think I'm a little bit higher on him as a broadcaster than you are. I think you think that he's the worst broadcaster of all time.
No, I said it last year. He's like, he would be, okay, what would he be if it was just about the announcing? What would he be? He'd
mid-tier.
Be about the,
yeah.
He'd be what?
Mid-tier. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying he's like a tro, like he's better than Witten was on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Who they tried to make him the next Romo.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not saying he's terrible, but he should not be the top guy. We all can agree on
that,
right?
Yeah.
Come on.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get more of your thoughts on this Brady situation with the Raiders and Fox. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a feeling you might want to tune into the Rex rant a little bit later this hour. Rex Road's been like just slowly working himself up the whole show.
Now, this is another one of those that really like it rants itself.
It does.
Self rant.
It does.
Sort of. Like a man door. Open it yourself.
Here you go.
Come on in. There's Cam Ward. Treat him like a couch. Just sit on him.
A lot of thoughts on Amy Adams Strunk on our YouTube chat. Man, I wish Amy would call in one day. Or it's Amy's play calling that's bad. We've uncovered something here.
Well, someone on the text line said that she was the one who said one elbow does not equal 2 feet. I say we blame her for everything.
Brian, don't challenge. Don't challenge it. You got to have 1 foot down with the elbow.
My goodness. What a franchise. What a professional sports franchise.
Yeah. Apparently, Brady does have a conversation with Chip Kelly, offensive coordinator for the Raiders, 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh, goody.
Is what Chip Kelly said. So, like, that's part of the conversation from yesterday of, all right, so he's doing work on these broadcasts. And I would imagine, like, there's, even if he's not getting access to the building, there's got to be, like, some level of research detail that he's doing on all this stuff. So I understand that's not the same thing as like being inside the building and seeing game plans and all this stuff. So I guess if that's your concern, he's at least not getting that. But I guess the crux of it, it's wild to me that he's trying to do both. It's like, well, you know, I want to call these games, and probably more than anything, I want the $300 million that is attached to calling these games.
Right.
But I also would like to be as heavily involved with my own football team as I can. So let me do both. Let's do both at the same time.
Right. Like, again, my biggest issue is that the consumer of the NFL, most popular sport, and if you disagree with me, if you're listening, then that's fine. But I do care a lot about announcers. I care about it absolutely can improve or hurt the quality of the product.
And I thought Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt, by the way, were really good together. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, JJ's not bad. I don't know about that hair.
I'm not in a position to comment on anyone's hair.
I didn't notice the hair. I didn't see him.
But I feel like is it actually his hair?
I think so.
It looked like a terrible wig. But no, he was fine.
JJ, did you get hair implants? Rex Road wants to know.
Yeah, I'll let PK ask that one. No, it's to me, the biggest issue is that all of this hurts the product of consuming, and it's going to be one of the best games every week, and that sucks. But also on the other side of it, because I definitely teams are not going to tell him anything. So like, I'm not worried. Like, I don't think that he's actually out here with the intent of being a spy. I mean, we understand that the Patriots have done some cheating, him included, in the past. But, like, that's not what it is. But also, if you're the NFL, how do you have this double standard? This should be an obvious, easy line that you don't cross.
Well, I mean,
he is a coach, basically, of the Raiders.
Like, I have wondered, like, if you're the NFL, if it was somebody other than Tom Brady, would they say, hey, man, you got to pick one? Like,
100%.
You can't be the minority owner of the football team and then be out here calling games every week.
Yeah, no, I don't think that they would make this exception for anybody else. And it's like, look, man, Tom Brady was an incredible player and a huge face of the league for a long time, but Now we have new players that we care about. Okay? So I think that maybe you overrate a little bit, like, what he means to people anymore. Well, unless you're Pedro, if you're, or you know, well, Jared sniffing his fart perfume. But the people like that, you know, go a little crazy. But,
well, I would say that, like, you know, obviously, you know, I'm 32 years old. So for the majority of my life, I watched Tom Brady play football at a high level. When they announced that he was going to call games, I was excited about it. I was like, well, that's cool. You have Tom Brady on the call. And then you see it, and I think it gets back to the question you asked at the beginning of this conversation. Like, am I tuning in to watch a game that I wouldn't otherwise be watching because Tom Brady is on the call? And I can say for myself that the answer is no. Now, maybe for some other people, the answer is yes. I don't know. But for me, the answer is no.
And so on the flip side of that, when Greg – first of all, who gave a crap about – Greg Olsen was a solid tight end in the NFL. Great. Okay, whatever. He just happens to be really good at it. So it got to the point where, okay, let's say Fox and CBS were going head-to-head with a great – with equally great games.
Yeah.
I would probably spend more time on the Fox game instead of like Romo and CBS because Greg Olsen's so good. Now, for the most part, yeah, I don't pick a game because of announcers. Right. I just want the announcers to be good when it's a great game. But yeah, no. The Patriots fan out there who is the biggest Brady fan in the world, do you go seek out a game because he's calling
this
it?
This is about what he brings to the table for Fox behind the scenes. That's what it's about. And then the question is, if you're the NFL, like, okay, so do you care that, like, I understand that you got TV partners and you're trying to.
You have other TV partners,
you're trying
too,
to
not just Fox,
to them as much as you can. But, like, do you really care that much about Fox's, like, fundraisers and bottom lines that they're using? Like, Brady is, hey, come to this event because Brady's going to be there. Like, do you care that much about it where you're like, yeah, we don't care about any other of the optics of this, you just do whatever you want because you're Tom Brady.
Yeah. And again, like, I get it. Like, you want Tom Brady to be involved, but he is. He is involved. He is a competitor. And so he's
trying to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. He's a competitor. Right? And so he's got his hands in every aspect of that organization. And that's great. Do it. Good for you. John Elway did the same thing and on and on and on. But we didn't then have to have Elway have this conflict of interest.
Right. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's up, guys? My thing is, what if the games were going the complete opposite direction? What if the Raiders beat the Chargers 20-9 this past Monday? What if in the future that the Raiders start getting really good? What if they're so good that they're the number one game on Fox? I don't even know if that's possible. I don't know what if they're the number one game on Fox? Is Brady just going to step down from that role? I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for calling, Nate. I mean, honestly, I don't. I mean, look, Fox is largely, not always, but largely NFC. Broadcast,
yeah, but it is more mixed.
But it's more mixed, yeah. So, like, I don't know. Maybe the day comes where it's the Raiders. Like, I would assume that he's not calling that game, right? Like, they would have to sub somebody in.
I would assume not. So. It's good. It's a good question. Yeah, I would assume not. Yeah, it's like you don't even think about it because
so Tom, take us in the owners' meeting. I mean, if you want insight, it'd be great insight for that game.
So let me tell you,
in your conversation with Chip Kelly this week when you guys were game planning against the Chiefs out here, what stood out?
So, guys, I've seen Mark Davis get a haircut. Let me tell you about it. I took some pictures.
That I'd probably tune into.
Actually.
Tom.
Finally, some
insight.
As much
detail as you can provide, we would appreciate.
How do these things happen?
What's the size of the bowl that he puts on his head when the haircut happens?
Like, what does he say when they come up, approach him with scissors? Like, what does he say, you know? Could you help him?
Said back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Michael to the program. Michael, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I think we can all agree that the NFL isn't stupid. So my question is, obviously, like, this is the same commissioner, Goodell, that suspended Brady for the whole Deflategate thing. They know of the past with the Patriots and all the cheating scandals. So they obviously, with all of that past history in mind, they obviously still approve the Brady still being an announcer and a minority owner. So I just don't understand how they can coexist knowing of the past history.
Well, Michael, I think we lost you there, but we got the general point of your call. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
I know the NFL's position on this is going to be this, Joe. It's going to be exactly what they said yesterday. Well, he's not allowed in the building. Like, he's not allowed in the building, and he's not really talking to anybody about, like, game plan stuff. So he can't cheat if he's not in the building. That's going to be their position.
Yeah. And, again, that's where I get pissed off, because it's like, okay, great. So you have hurt the product of watching football. And I got people saying, well, no one cares about the announcers. No, some people do care about the announcers. You're welcome to not care. If you try to claim that no one cares, you're completely not living in reality.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take a deeper look at the AFC South and the quarterback situation in the AFC South moving forward. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of VIP tickets to the Nashville Oktoberfest coming up on Sunday, October 5th. VIP area, you can get away from the crowds, kick back and relax in their comfortable seating area while you enjoy unlimited food and drink. Be caller number 9 in honor of Paul Kuharsky. Number 9. Caller 9 will win a pair of VIP tickets to the Nashville Oktoberfest coming up on Sunday, October the 5th. We welcome in Paul Kuharsky to the show now. PaulKuharsky.com.
I love that. People are very reluctant to go all the way to 9 because he's got to clear it and then do it again.
9 times.
So I appreciate the tribute, and I know that's a pain for Ian. So thank you for your suffering.
Well, Ian will work through it.
But, I mean, there's a lot of suffering going on, so it's kind of the theme.
Ian will work through it.
And, Ian, thank you for playing Broken Face by Pixies.
You're welcome.
I hope the Pixies fans out there appreciated that.
Late night for Rex Rhodes tonight. They're willing
to. Get excited,
to,
baby.
Could be an interesting 6 o'clock hour tomorrow.
They're willing to do what it takes.
Maybe from home.
Look how high my camera is. I'm like, my head's kind of off screen.
I'll have to fix it during the break unless you want to.
That'll work. Stuff. He's lighting things.
Yeah, it's why don't you grab some stuff and mangle it with your hands. That's a good idea.
What are you, Glennon, with your electronic stuff? I mean, I can raise a camera a little bit.
Shaking.
I mean, Liv, have you seen his computer? Yeah, he is kind of Glennon with his electronic stuff. It's like, wow, this computer screen I've got has been holding on by a thread for 3 years.
He's got a Mac.
I've got a perfectly good computer at home.
Mac at home, and he refuses to use it. It's a mystery.
Is he scared of it?
It's one of Nashville's biggest media mysteries.
I can't operate it. I cannot.
I'm doing a podcast in a short while about the state of Nashville media, and I'm going to include that.
You should.
I'm going.
You should.
Let's. The state of Nashville media begins with Joe Rex Rhodes' computer.
Here's a photo. Can headline the discussion.
You're just going to sit there and bloviate about the state of Nashville media?
I've been asked to guest, and so I shall. I don't know that much about the state of Nashville media.
Who asked you to do this? You shouldn't be talking about the state of Nashville. Oh, Braden, what are you putting Kuharsky in? Giving a micro-ass about the state of Nashville.
This is a professor. Vingan's on.
This is a professor.
To offset me.
Okay, so you and Vingan are talking about this.
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess I can live with
that. Oh, now you can.
Well, you popping off for 40 minutes is not what anybody needs.
It'll be moderated. It's not like I'm just given an open microphone.
Here's what I think about the media.
I don't know what that one was.
That was a Hans Molman. I don't know.
Whoever that is.
Simpsons. Never heard of the show? You're going on with Vingan. Believe me, he's going to give you some Simpsons references.
Me, you might want to be familiar with it.
Again, this thing where familiar with the show, yes. Memorized minor characters, no. That's where I'm a little different.
I know, that's hard. That's hard for that brain of yours to handle.
It really is. I mean, I came in last
names
week.
Of characters in a show that's been on TV for 35 years. My God.
I did come in.
Have you ever heard
week?
Of Marge? She has the blue hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure this other character is prominent
Homer,
as Marge.
Have you heard of him?
There are four people in the family, and then this guy.
Yeah. Who is Chief Wiggum? Never heard of him.
Well, he knows who Denard Walker is,
Babu
too.
Babu was my favorite.
Denard Walker.
Still make that slip. Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's all right.
Look, the guy was in the Super Bowl, and that's when this team was good.
I was telling
I default to when this team was good because I'm such a bright-spirited guy.
I was telling my dad, I was on YouTube the other day. I came across, like, you know how they used to do those NFL films, like season in review stuff? Yep. I came across the 2000 Titans one. And Denard Walker made a nice pick there. I was like, yeah, Denard Walker getting in there. And then you're watching it, and you're watching, like, you know, Eddie George, Marcus Robinson, and all these people mic'd up all the time, Javon Curse. And it's like, man, that used to be fun, huh? How about that?
I think it feels like a lifetime ago.
And his brain functioned back then, too.
I think there was a time. Unveiling of that year in review is one of the many times that Bud flipped a bird. He was sitting in the crowd, and we all watched it in the auditorium. And then after, we surrounded him to talk about something, and he flipped the finger to somebody.
There we go.
In that conversation.
Very consistent.
I want to bring this up to you, PK, from Liam on the text line, because I think this is an interesting quick little topic that's kind of off what we've been talking about. He says, I'm really surprised you find value in the announcers, Joe. Maybe it's just because many decades of listening to the likes of Ian Eagle and Beasley Reese, but I get a little more than annoyance from them. Apart from Dennis Miller, I was one of the few that enjoyed him.
Okay.
Now, that's a take. Yeah, I think announcing really – do you guys agree with me? Like,
I need them to reach, it matters to me. I need them to reach a certain level. After they reach a certain level – I'm not as into it as you are, but
well, I just
Brady,
want insight.
To me, doesn't reach a certain level. And then if they are especially insightful, it's a joy. But I come to not expect much.
But see, that's the thing, too, is like, okay, so I agree. I think J.J. Watt, who did the Titans game, I think he has potential to be good.
I thought he was good.
Yeah. And it's one of the, that happens, too. Like, Greg Olsen, the seventh guy on Fox when he started, you know, 6-7 years ago, probably, right? But it's like, oh wow, this guy actually is like breaking it down, and it's doing like really quickly and actually giving you stuff you don't obviously know from watching the game. It's not easy to do. It's not that common.
Yeah, like I don't.
So, yeah, the best guys should be good, and Brady is not. But I mean, most guys are not, above a certain line, and so then I just want them not to be screwing it up regularly. And I don't know if I'm symbolic of most of America. I watch fewer and fewer games where I am like locked in on the game and not too screening it, where I'm following Twitter and following the game.
Yep. Sure.
Simultaneously, where what's coming out of the screen audio-wise is less important to me because I'm not locked in on it.
I usually only really focus in on the broadcasters when one of them annoys me. Like, I'll just be fully honest with you, and I'm sure he's a great guy, but when as I was watching that Florida State Alabama game, I was like, man, Joe Tessitore really gets on my nerves. Like, I think he's just so over the top all the time, and it's like, hey, not everything.
There's a 7-yard run.
Yeah, like, not everything requires screaming. Honestly, those are really the only time I pay attention to the broadcasters is when they're annoying me.
I can't tell you who's broadcasting a lot of college games that I half watch.
Gus Johnson? Yay or nay on Gus Johnson?
I love Gus Johnson.
So do I.
He's kind of in Tessitore territory.
Well, sometimes he does. It's like this. But when there is a
when there's a big one, it's good.
He is like, oh my God!
But the problem I have with him is he does some of that when it's like second six.
Yeah.
And they pick up 4 yards.
He's got 66 to nothing games.
He could be more selective.
Also. Yeah,
that's true.
This is the nature of the sport.
That is true. What was your college football game this week?
Mississippi State and Alcorn State. Yeah. It's great. I get all these explanations about how college football works and that it was necessary for Alcorn State. I understand the system. What I'm saying is that the system
Why is anybody watching this?
The system is broken, and there could be no enjoyment in that game. And if you enjoy that game, you're broken. All right, along with the system.
Wow, you're a broken human.
Real quickly. Says Carson. We got to go real quick on this. How are we feeling about AFC South quarterback situations right now? Let's start in Jacksonville. How are we feeling about that? We got Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence sniping back and forth at each other on the sideline this week.
Well, I'd like to rank them.
Okay.
So, to me, fan base and how they feel about quarterback is as the Colts
right
come in here flying high. Well,
Colts are,
flying high. They? No, listen. We were talking about this in the press room the other day. Remember the Saints last year? Saints started 2-0, and their offense looked like unbelievable.
They put like 50 on the
Cowboys. All-time offense. That's the Colts right now.
Yeah,
these aren't the Colts.
If you're a Colts fan, like, do you really think that he is going to be Daniel Jones is going to be your long-term answer?
I think you're praying and you're enjoying the moment, but I mean, if your hopes are way way up, you're just bound to crash.
So I think it's a question of who's in last, Colts. Because, I mean, the Titans and Texans have young guys. I mean, I know, like, Texans fans
Stroud looks to be regressing.
It might be. But still, Like, if you're a Texans fan, realistically, like, you still
feel pretty good.
Feel pretty good, right? I mean, who feels worse? Or because, again, Colts fans have this fake, you know, sugar rush. But, like, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones, who would you rather have as your quarterback?
I mean, I would rather have Trevor Lawrence as my quarterback.
I would rather have Trevor Lawrence as my
quarterback. I'll answer it this way. I would rather have Trevor Lawrence as my quarterback. I think Jacksonville fans feel worse because of the contract and that he's not getting dramatically better.
Yeah.
That would be how I would answer it.
But, look, you got to take long view. And would I take Liam Cohn and Trevor Lawrence right now, long view, for this season over the Colts? I still would.
Yeah, but you're not a Jags fan who, like you said, you've been promised this guy is the greatest thing ever, and you've kind of just set, and you're just resigned to, well, we paid him. I guess it makes sense to pay him, but look at this. It's not any better.
I still would give him some time. At least two more games to see, like, a month, a quarterly report kind of thing. And same for the Colts. Let's see their next two. I don't know who they have after the Titans, but it's fool's gold at this point.
Did you see Liam Cohen tell Trevor Lawrence over the week, like, hit him in the chest, buddy. Your job is quarterback. Yeah. You hit him in the chest. And Trevor Lawrence is like, get away from me. Yeah. Just go away.
Throw a good pass, please. Yeah, that's going well.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh yeah, Steve, you suck, Nico, greedy, burr, burr, burr.
Hey, pitch and catch.
And when I have to turn on the TV and people bring up that word and they try to casually throw the word out there like you do, but it's still the word.
I might lose my mind today.
Oh yeah, you've always colored glasses.
No, Archie, please don't do that.
It is that time of the day, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
Do we have the song yet, the Colts song for the week?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
Like, it comes later.
Like I said earlier this week, the
Colts musician
song,
guy.
Yeah.
He's a real charmer.
Yeah.
Like, well, we're going to get it later in the week.
Well, he said last week we're going to knock the Broncos off their high horse.
They did.
He was right. I'd like to know
what a penalty.
What Titans pun he has this week.
Waiting. With Ian, monitor that account.
On it 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn your notifications set alerts on, Ian. Yeah.
We're going to get to the subject who really, I'm just going to let him speak for himself for the most part. But Adam in Portland, I just want to get to this, Paul. He said, Paul's podcast is awesome, except for the part where he said Cam Ward has been made better by Brian Callahan. Except for that blatant lie, it's a really good show. Your thoughts, Paul Kaharski?
Good to know.
Well, I think that Cam Ward so far has not been a reason that the Titans have not done well.
I would agree.
And that to me is a good thing for this team.
Is that him being made better
to this time
by Brian Callahan?
Well, I could see worse scenarios for the Titans with Cam Ward.
Yeah, answer my question.
At this stage, is that him being made better? I think it's too early to say if he's been made
so
better.
So Adam's lying?
I don't know. I think Adam and I would probably have a debate. In my podcast, people have said, name one thing that Brian Callahan has done. And I think people are probably pretty happy so far with Cam Ward, definitely with Alec Eilmanner, and definitely with Chim Dike. And I think if you're happy with those three guys, then you have to admit there are three things that Brian Callahan has done that have been good. So I don't think you could take it to the extreme that Brian Callahan has done absolutely nothing, and nobody has done anything on this team to indicate there's any forward progress. I think that's a little bit to the ultimate extreme.
Okay.
All right. Well, would you not agree with that?
We got plenty of time for you to be a Brian Callahan apologist.
I'm not being a Brian Callahan apologist. I'm being a there's a little bit of gray area guy instead of it's absolutely all or nothing.
Okay. And we'll deal with this later. Meanwhile, I'd like your reaction to this. Dabo Swinney had some comments yesterday.
Apparently a lot.
Because people are mad, and Tyler from Spartanburg and whoever else is mad at Dabo. Dabo, what do you have to say for yourself, buddy?
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on their way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not, to win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. And, hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they can send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach. I'm just now figuring it out. So we'll be around a while. Let's hang in there.
Pretty good.
That was good?
I mean, that's a pretty good defense of yourself if you're talking about the people who are up your butt. If you want to spell out your resume, that's a pretty good spelling out your resume. I thought, who was it lately that also, there was another coach that got picked apart at a press conference and said, you know, we just won that game, and you're opening with the question.
That's Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, you like that too?
I thought that was a pretty good defense of his performance.
Maybe my rant is, what the hell's wrong with you? I think that's my rant. Well, the Brian Kelly thing was a pathetic display of your offense was terrible. You got 5 picks from a Florida quarterback who was a disaster. They're a bad team. They just lost at home to South Florida. You scored 20 points against them, getting 5 picks, and a totally fair, it wasn't like some argumentative question. He was like, what's going on with the offense? And he loses his mind?
Was that the opening question of the press conference?
Yeah.
That's how it read to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know that's how you open a press conference necessarily, and I'm the kind of guy that would open a press conference like that.
Here we go.
What?
Dabo, you're off the hook.
Coach, fantastic win. Just a super. I thought the shrimp etouffee was amazing. You're amazing. And then in the 5 questions later, I asked about the offense. Huh?
So Sweeney listed what he's done and said he's won a lot in defensive.
He said a lot.
I mean,
talk for an hour?
That was a pathetic display of being defensive. Like, yeah, we all know that the whole criticism of Dabo is, yes, you used to have an elite program. You used to go to the playoff 12 team last year. That's different. But you used to be in title games. Like, before all
and
this.
It's not much of a conference. I'll give him that.
Again, no. He's going 10 years. And all this stuff, all the great stuff you did was before the transfer portal, NIL, which you have disavowed completely. So now you're trying to spin everybody on, what's different? No. The whole point is you have gone down as a program. And so I guess it's kind of unfair when you set expectations a certain place because you were great. That happens, right? It's a reality of sports. You set expectations here. You're not allowed to just be like, yeah, we'll be down here now. Well, you should be happy because we were up here before.
No, that's fair.
Are you Good God, Kaharski!
Are you sending Dabo packing? He said if you wanted to send him packing, go ahead.
No.
What's his next school? Pick a next school for Dabo.
Well, people have done the Alabama thing with him, but – I mean,
if they love him at Clemson, they'll love him at Bama.
Yeah. I mean, he played at Bama, you know.
South Carolina.
Go replace
Beamer. Shane, you're out.
Maybe Shane will go to the Hokies. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to stay at Clemson. But again, just the spin job that he's doing here, it's like, yeah, but people aren't saying you suck, you're terrible. It's since college football has changed, you have a very good program. You no longer have an elite program. Clemson fans aren't allowed to be mad about that?
Sure.
Okay.
Keep up with the
time. So you're wrong on everything.
Keep up with the
time. So you're wrong on everything. Great. All right, the text line's pissed at you, so I'm not alone.
I liked your column better where you bitched about the start time for the Michigan State game. Though it was very personal because you want to be awake for the Michigan State game, but that was a
I got to sign that column.
That was a good take. Did you really?
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, they said you're our Michigan State guy, so we'll give you the Michigan
Spidey!
State column. But that was a good column. It's ridiculous for any team that plays in Central or Eastern time to be playing a game that starts that late.
Right. Now, I mean,
but it's good for the Malaysian fans.
Exactly.
It's true.
They got 517 alums in Thailand. It's great.
Big.
What time does the game start?
11 a.m. kickoff. Let's go. Bangkok.
They should fly
Bangkok
you out.
Bangkok will be rocking.
They should. You talked about messing up people's clocks. They should fly you to Bangkok and have you do a column at the MSU bar in Bangkok.
Dude, that would be awesome. I would totally do that.
That gout would flare up in a hurry. It would be a big problem over there.
Yeah, they eat a lot of pork, and I love pork. Yeah.
In my defense, I think I'm somewhat immune to college football coaches defending themselves. Like, yeah, this clearly is part of the charm of the sport, you would tell me. This is what coaches do.
You're just an apologist for everybody. Let's get
positive
back.
PK.
Let's get back to all the improvements that Brian Callahan's made per Kaharski.
Get Rex Road over to Thailand. Take a representative from Functional Medicine of Tennessee with him, and you'll be all set over there.
Your sidekick.
I would need that, actually.
The gout sidekick.
Need needles nearby me at all times.
We got a lot of things to get into on the Titans front with PK. We will do that for the next hour on the show. Take your questions for PK as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.